K4DJC.
DJC, K4OYM. How you doing tonight, Curry?
I figured you'd be moving. When you guys move it up and move it to a new place?
I already started, but my health, I done got to where I can't hardly do nothing. I can't, my left leg is giving me a fit. My knee, I'll be walking and my knee just gives away. And I went to the doctor Friday and they put me on a, they wanted me to go on a walker and I said, no, I'm not going to go on a walker. But I agreed to walk with a cane till they can figure out what's going on, so I ain't much help helping my daughter. And I just sent Dave a text message. I don't have his phone number. I'm not going to be able to call the net tomorrow night. They're supposed to be here in the morning with a truck to hook up to my camper, which this is my shack, and pull it over there. And I've got to run the power from the outside breaker box into my camper or the shack, and I won't have the antenna up tomorrow night. And it's supposed to rain all day Wednesday, so I don't know. I feel sorry for my daughter having to do all this stuff by herself and me not being any help at all, Jerry.
And there it is. I had had a hernia disc about, it's probably been about, I think about 2004 or so. I did all that driving and I turned around to get something out of the back seat when I was stopped someplace and kind of wrenched my neck a little bit, but I think it just, doing all that riding 40, 50,000 miles a year just wore my disc down. Had a hernia disc. I didn't have any feeling at all hardly in my right arm. I couldn't have any strength much. I took that disc out, put a piece of bone in there, infused it, and put a plate over it, too, titanium plate on it. But I'm still not 100% even now, but my left leg still gives me a little, I have a little weakness in that left leg, and I'm sure it's from that spinal stenosis I had over the years. It's just part of it. I may have to walk with a cane, but when I have to walk with a walker, I ain't gonna be happy about it.
Had that stroke and fell that night. I broke my neck and I had so much swelling they couldn't tell what all I'd done. They put me on steroids to get the swelling down for 3 months. And I went back for more MRIs and I had messed up C3, 4, 5, and 6 vertebrae. And they had to fuse my neck back together. And I've got 6 plates, 4 rods, and 8 screws in my neck. And I'm like you, my left arm and left leg, I just ain't got no strength at all in them.
Kind of odd. I was working in the textile business then, and this is right when it happened, right during one of the last textile shows they had in Greenville. And I was in a lot of pain. I mean, I lost a feeling in my shoulder, but I just had shooting pains down my arm. And mine was between C4 and C5, I think, Walt. I just had one. I actually wanted to do two of mine, but the doctor and Emory wanted to do two, but I had a guy here in town. He said, we just need to do one. We'll make it, if we need to go back and do that one, I just go back in the same hole and get that other one too. But thankfully, I hadn't needed it. But every once in a while, when you have stenosis like that, when you get older, if you have any neck damage, sometimes that stuff just, there ain't a whole lot you can do about it. I mean, once they get in, they ain't done all they can do, especially when they put the plates and rods in. There ain't a whole lot else they can do that time. They can maybe give you a steroid or something to reduce some of the swelling, but the biggest problem I had, I haven't been able to get out and do anything much. I usually get out and walk a good bit, but I don't like to walk when the weather's bad, so had a right to get in the mall around all those other people until I get my second shot. So that's that. That's the excuse I'm using anyway. But I know how you feel. I mean, when they did mine, after I woke up from the operating room, I mean, I had pain in my right shoulder. I mean, it felt like somebody putting a hot poker on my shoulder. But when I waked up after the anesthesia and they got everything done, the pain was gone, and the doctor was astonished. The neurosurgeon was astonished. He said, "Sometimes that pain don't ever go away, but I think I got mine early enough. I noticed mine, and I think it was September, and I had the surgery done in October, November. I didn't wait around too much. I didn't have any physical therapy. I don't think that would help me."
My neck, September the 4th, and they had to wait till the swelling went down till February the 4th when they operated, and the neurosurgeon, he explained to me they had to cut some nerves in my neck to get those plates and rods in, and my left shoulder is completely numb and stays ice cold. And my doctor over there at the PA Friday said, more than likely, this pain and all I'm having in my left leg might be a nerve rubbing against one of those plates or something. And he said, are you interested? They said when they were operating, I started having multiple mini strokes. And they had to hurry up and get me closed up and calmed down. But my doctor at the VA, she asked me Friday, she said, now, it could be that one of those nerves are rubbing against a plate or something in there. She said, do you want to take a chance and let us go back into your neck? And I said, oh, hell no. That ain't going to happen. I'll put up with this. They not going back into my neck again, Jerry.
Sometimes, Walt, I can sit a certain way and have my neck cocked one side or the other. And then sometimes mine is low. I've got about 85% of my strength back in my right arm, but before I had the surgery, I could pick up a can of Coca-Cola. I mean, a small can. I didn't have enough strength to anything to pick it up. And the doctor told me, he said, we'll operate for pain. He said, if it's just pain only, he said, I wouldn't guarantee it. He said, when you start losing strength in your limbs, he said, that's when we need to take a look at it. Of course, that's been 16 years ago now, I guess, 17 years ago. I was a lot younger fellow than I am now, but if they want to go back in there now, unless I lost my feeling or couldn't walk or something, I don't think I'd let them go back in, to be honest with you. I just don't. My nephew is in his fourth year of residence. He's an orthopedic surgeon in Atlanta. And he told me, he said, if you're weak enough, he said, it might be worthwhile going back in there. He said, but if you just got a little bit of pain or a little bit of numbness here and there, he said, best thing to do is leave it alone. I said, that's the kind of talk I like to hear.
Hadn't been on any kind of pain medication since the neurosurgeon released me. But they gave me capipetin. I was on 300 milligrams of that. That's for the nerve pain. Like you said, I can be sitting around and the top of my left leg feels like I'm standing in front of a bonfire and somebody's sticking it with an ice pick. I was taking 300 milligrams of that capipetin, and my doctor Friday, she told me, said, they upped me to 800 milligrams. And she said, I'm already taking 100 milligrams of amphotericin. That stuff knocks me out. I take it when I go to bed, and quick as my head hits the pillow almost, I'm asleep. But Friday night, I took that 800 milligrams of capipetin and 100 milligrams of amphotericin. I couldn't sit up, I couldn't walk or nothing. It was like being drunk without feeling drunk. You just couldn't control nothing. I called this morning and left a message. I'm not going to mix those things again. There ain't no way I could function doing that, sure.
DJC for ID. We'll all tie in. Sometimes the cure is worse than the disease is. And when you start, that's why I don't take any pain medication. I hadn't so far. And I'm already taking enough stuff, but I don't like getting on pain medication, especially even when I have surgery and stuff. I don't take any oxycodone and any of that stuff. I just deal with Tylenol because I don't want to get started on that mess. Same thing with dental work. When I've had dental work done, they've always tried to give it to me. I said, no. I said, if Tylenol or Motrin ain't going to help it, I said, don't give me nothing else. I don't want it. Because all that does is mask it. It don't help any of this other stuff. I believe that stuff, it masks a lot of that stuff. It puts you to sleep or makes you where you can't function at all. I don't know enough about those two drugs to comment on, but it sounds like an awful lot to me.
I had to be really bad in pain before I wanted anything for pain. But the night that I broke my neck, that Hurricane Irma was coming through down there in Puerto Rico. Well, here it was pouring rain, the wind blowing, and the back door of my shack blew open. I went back there to close the door. And that's when I had the stroke and fell out on my head. I laid out there in the pouring rain. I don't know how long I was laying there, unconscious. And when I come to, I wasn't in no pain. It was pouring rain and cold, and I didn't feel a bit of it. And after a while, I got to where I could roll over on my stomach and crawl on my elbows to get myself back in the shack. And my daughter come down here about 8 o'clock and found me that way. And even through the surgery, everything, I never felt any pain, Jerry.
That's what happened to Jerry, Walt. They dropped him on his head when he was born.
How'd you know that? That's what my daddy always told me.
I think mine made a mistake and slapped me in the face. Good evening, Jerry. Well, I had a nice trip over there to your facility today, and they did more in 15 minutes to half an hour than they ever did in Columbia in the last 10 years.
Walt, Tom went to, we got a fairly new VA facility here in Anderson, just off Highway 81, and Tom went there today to the VA. And, I've heard good things about it, but I'm not a veteran, so I've never been in there. But, me and Walt, we were just kind of comparing our complaints about neck surgeries and spinal stuff and all kinds of things. But Walt, you know, one of the things, I never had a problem, you know, after my surgery, I never had a problem with hot and cold. Mine was just act up, you know, every once in a while I could sleep wrong or something on it, you know, and it still bothered me. It's not as much, I guess I just don't pay as much attention to it, but I hadn't really been in any pain since I had it done. But I didn't have as much done, I also didn't have all the other stuff done as well either. But when they offered to do some physical therapy for me before I had that disc surgery, I said, nope, I don't want any, because I was afraid it'd make it worse.
You know, physical therapy 2 times. And talking about the VA, I haven't seen a doctor over there in 3 years. I always get a nurse practitioner. And they look like they're from Algeria or somewhere. They so black, it's unreal, and you can't understand a word they're saying. And they called me and said I had an appointment to see a nurse practitioner, and I said, oh, no, I want to see a doctor. And they transferred me to another pod. And when I got over there Friday and finally got to see a real doctor, I said, she said, why have you waited so long to see a doctor? And I said, I can't get an appointment with a doctor. They keep setting me up with a nurse practitioner. She said, yeah, we can't keep doctors here. And I said, why? She said, they had five doctors quit last week. They said, the problem was, said Walt, said, you know, most vets are old men and grouchy and grumpy. And said, a doctor just, they can't handle these old men.
And no trouble. This guy was, he might have been Indian or Pakistani or something. I don't care. He was good and very kind and helpful, and it was for my foot. So you guys got a lot different problem there. But I just wanted to let you know, Jerry, that I deeply appreciate their efforts over there. And when I got there, I only had to wait about 15 minutes to get in, if that. And I saw a nurse, a male nurse. And then the lady come in and took my blood pressure and temperature. And then by that time, here come the doctor. And buddy, he was sharp. But I'll let you guys go ahead and visit there. And we're driving over to the daughter's, Jerry. And thanks for the directions today. I appreciate it. This is Enzo TR.
I'm glad I didn't get you turned around and lost. My wife gets better directions than I do by a long shot. She's kind of over here, but she said, don't tell him to go this way now, tell him to go that way. So I was following her instructions from a distance. I'm glad you had a good experience over there. One other friend of mine, I've probably been friends with him for 40, 50 years, I guess. He goes to this one here in town, and he told me, he said, he had a pretty good experience with that one, too. But again, it's different. It depends on what it is and so forth. And we went to, just last year, we went to Sam's or Walmart about 1:30 today. That Sam's was absolutely packed. I mean, you could, you know, my wife had to, she didn't give about four or five items, but she was in there a while, and Walmart was just as bad, I think. So we took what should have been a 15 or 20 minute trip, turned into 2 hours. But anyway, good to talk to you, Tom. And before I got on here, I just worked a guy on AO-27 satellite in Arizona. I was running 10 watts, and he was running about 5, I think. So that was a lot of fun. He was loud, too, on top of that. But, I hope you have a good evening. Good talking to you. I'm sure I'll talk to you either later on tonight or in the morning, one of the other. Walt, I tell you one that I feel for you. I know this nerve stuff is just so hard to diagnose. It's even harder to get it fixed up, too. Yes, they can tell you what's wrong, but they can't. They say, well, we'll go back in there, but there ain't no guarantee of them fixing what they say they're going to do.
A couple of days before I was supposed to see my neurosurgeon, I had another light stroke, and I had to call 911, and they came out here and got me, and I wanted to go to the Greer Hospital, and they said, no, you're right here in Inman. You've got to go to Spartanburg. They took me down there, and they done an X-ray and a couple of MRIs on me, and the doctor came back in there and said, you've had another mild stroke, but said, we give you that shot. Said, it ain't nothing to worry about, but said, when are you going to see your neurosurgeon again? And I told him, I said, in 2 days. He said, well, Mr. Bradshaw, on this MRI, you've got a couple of them screws coming loose back there and them rods. Be sure and tell your neurosurgeon about that. So 2 days later, I went to Greenville to the neurosurgeon, and I told him what had happened, and he didn't do an MRI. He just sent me back there, and they done one X-ray, and he came back into the room with me. He said, you just don't listen to everything anybody tells you. I said, well, I'm worried, and my daughter's worried about those screws coming loose. He said, who you gonna trust? Somebody that's been to college and medical school or nothing but spinal injuries and all, or a little, I ain't gonna say what he called it, a emergency room doctor. He said, I'm through with you, and he walked out the door and cut me loose, Jerry.
That's awful. Like I said, my wife had to go see a neurosurgeon when she had a stroke about 2 years ago, two or three years ago. If she had what they call transglobal amnesia, she couldn't remember anything. She couldn't remember anything for about 2 hours or 2 hour period of time. It was on Labor Day, and the ER doc here in Anderson diagnosed what it was, and so they did a good job here, and then went to Greenville. Neurosurgeon Greenville said said the same thing. So that would make me pull out the hill of the horn if I had a neurosurgeon that did all that work to me. Wouldn't listen to what somebody else said, and at least do an MRI and see what it's like. Did you ever do anything else? Did you ever figure out if the screws had worked way out or anything?
Able to get to a doctor till this past Friday, and they done a bunch of x-rays on my neck and all, and I had to leave radiology and go to pharmacy and then out the door, and I haven't heard anything back yet from them. But I've had nothing but a bad experience. The VA, they sent me an appointment. I had to be in Columbia on a Friday at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I had to have somebody to drive me. And my daughter had to take a wet day off from work, and she drove me to Columbia, and I checked in and sat there, and people coming in ahead of me and going on back. And I finally went up to the counter and I said, ma'am, I was here at 8:30, and these people are coming in ahead of me. She said, where's your VA ID? I said, you got it right there. She looked at it. She looked at her book, said, Mr. Bradshaw, you ain't supposed to be here the next Friday. And I handed her the letter that I had from the VA saying that date. She said, all I can tell you, somebody messed up here at the VA. Your appointment ain't the next Friday. Well, my daughter took that next Friday off, took me all the way to Columbia, get down there and checked in, sit there about an hour. They call my name. I get up, said, what are you here for? I said, I'm here for some kind of test. Well, your doctor didn't specify exactly what we are supposed to be testing you for, so we can't help you, Mr. Bradshaw. We'll notify you later. That was 2 days my daughter missed from work to take me to Columbia, and I don't get travel pay for going. That 2 days off from work plus her gas money. At VA, they have messed me around.
I've heard some real horror stories. Yours ain't you. Yours is about the same as a lot of them I've heard, but I've heard good things about this one. I think it's just whoever's in charge of them, sometimes I just don't think they put forth the effort that a private provider does. But it's a shame about the neurosurgeon. But yeah, they can see that. Yeah, they I know they did, probably did what you did, but they gave me a van of mine done. I was traveling a lot. They gave me had a little card and had my name and all that, doctor's name, had an x-ray of my neck showing the plate. So when, if I set off a metal detector or wand somewhere, they wouldn't throw me in jail after 9/11. And I carried that thing with me flying several times, and they never wanted me, but I always had that thing with me just in case. But it shows all the screws and everything in mind. X-ray, that titanium shows up good on X-ray. That somebody should have noted that on X-ray if it was, yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know what an MRI would show, because I hadn't had one since I had my surgery, I don't think.
Medicare, I don't have Medicaid, and to pay $45 copay for the MRIs, and I had so many MRIs done last year that I got a letter from WellCare back in December, and my copay for an MRI is $400, Jerry. K4OIM for ID.
Well, yeah, straight Medicare or Advantage? You got Advantage plan?
Medicare and WellCare. I did have Humana, and I was having to pay $45 a month copay for that out of my Social Security. And then WellCare, one of their agents come up here and convinced me to switch to WellCare. I don't have to pay no premiums or anything now. And I get all my medication through the VA. So, yeah, they went from $45 per MRI to $400. And I've had 8 or 10, when I was in the hospital, I've had 8 or 10 MRIs in one day.
But, you know, if you're in the hospital, I wonder how much of that's covering Medicare Part A. My wife and I have traditional Medicare. We've got a Medigap plan, both of us. It is expensive, but I just know what my mother, daddy, and my father-in-law and mother-in-law went through, all their health issues they had, and they just, you know, if you don't have good insurance these days, they'll eat you up.
That stroke broke my neck. I never was sick except migraine headaches, and they put me on that epitripoline to control them, where I was having maybe 2 or 3 a week, and I'd go a month and not have one, and then I'd have 2 or 3 a month, and they put me on the epitripoline. I bet I don't have 2 a year. I was taking that and omeprazole for acid reflux. That was the only 2 medications I was on, and I was never sick. But I guess since I broke my neck, my immune system is way down at the bottom.
When you have something major like that happen, other things seem to crop up. That's the way it goes with us anyway. You think you got one hole covered up, next thing you know, you got another one. You gotta get around. Man, that's just the way it is, I guess. I don't know. This neck surgery stuff, I was scared to death of having it, but I had to do something. And I finally woke up, and they said, well, we can schedule you next week. And I said, whoa, just a minute now. Let me think about this. And then I thought about it for about 3 or 4 days. I woke up one Monday morning, and my wife and I talked it over, and I said, look, I'm going to have it done. Just all of a sudden, once I decided I was going to have it done, just all that weight of that decision just lifted off of me. I felt like a different person then. And went in there and had a good attitude going in, and I felt really good coming out of it. I was very fortunate that I got something done about it as soon as I did, because I think if I'd waited a lot longer, one of my friends that I used to call on down in Thomaston, Georgia, worked in one of the mills down there. He had the same thing happen to him. He hurt his neck, and he was building a storage building or something. He just said he felt something pop, and he went to a real good specialist down in Columbus, Georgia, and they got in there and fixed it, but he couldn't lift his arms. It's almost like a rotator cuff. Well, after that, he couldn't lift his arm up above his waist hardly. Whatever nerve damage had been done, he waited a long time. He waited about a year before he did anything about it. He waited too long, and those nerves, you know, I think once they get damaged like that, if you get everything, get all the pressure off of them, they start mending themselves back, but after a long period of time of the urge, it don't mend back, and that's what happened to him. Just glad I had enough sense to go ahead and do it, put a weight on it. That's probably the only thing that kept my right arm in reasonably good shape.
Back over there for my neurosurgeon, and had the x-rays done, and he could see what kind of damage I had done. Well, my daughter usually went with me, but she didn't go that day. And he told me, you know, what he wanted to do. He wanted to go in there and put them plates and rods and all in my neck. He said, you can go home and talk it over with your daughter and give me a call and let me know. I said, they ain't no talking it over. I want it done. So he said, let me make a schedule at the hospital and I'll see you on the 4th. They wasn't no talking about it. I wanted it done. And I don't regret it. I just, the way he acted when I went over there and told him what the doctor at the emergency room said, man, he got all teed off and raised and saying.
That sound right to me. That sounds pretty awful. And then all we had to say, well, I'll check it out and look at an x-ray and said, no, he was wrong or whatever he wanted to say, but that ain't no way to treat a patient, I don't think. But some of them like that, though. They got these big egos and they don't want anybody else questioning what they tell them. Well, first of all, I got to jump off here. I got to run downstairs and do a couple of things and we'll get a QSL card written out of this guy in Arizona. I worked on a satellite and get it off him for tomorrow. And I'll probably hear you on the net tonight, but I'm sorry you're having such a time with everything, but hopefully everything will work out and you'll get to feel it better. But you be careful. Don't be getting out of this weather, slipping up and falling, anything like that. Well, I'll ask you later, Walt, 73, K4OIM, M4DJC, clear after your final.
It was great talking to you. I guess everybody else is listening on the net tired of us old people complaining. So I'll be clear of yours, Jerry. 73's K4IM.